Well, if you love the Lord,
give him a good hand clap of praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to sing as nice. Musicians may be dismissed. Thank you all. Glad to have this opportunity to be back up here. Man, isn't the Lord just good? I am just so thankful for his presence. You know, I can't help but get my mind off of what Pastor, he was so excited last week. And it's something that just, you know, he is worthy of it all. It is time that we get excited about being a Christian. Some of us just need to shake off our boots a little bit and get excited about what God has done for you. He came to this earth as a baby. He was betrayed, he was beaten, and he died for our sins. And yet sometimes we forget to give him the praise, but he is worthy of it all. He is worthy of everything that we can give. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Matthew 15. We're going to read verses 32 through 34. If you have it, say amen. Matthew 15, 32 through 34, verse 32 says, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" Amen. If you would just lift your hands toward heaven, let's just pray that the Lord would have his way. Dear Jesus, God, I thank you, God, for your many mercies. God, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to be in your house, God, to preach your gospel. God, I pray that you would just anoint my lips, God, to say the things that you would have me to say, God. Lord, I pray that you would just move mightily, God, upon the people. Lord, move in these altars, God. Let your will and will be done, God, in your holy name, Jesus. God, I give you the praise. I give you the glory that you deserve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. My title for this message is, What Would Jesus Do? What Would Jesus Do? And I don't know if anybody has ever read the book, In His Steps. I don't know if anybody's read that. I've been reading that book lately, and it kind of stirred something up in me a little bit. And if you haven't got to read it, I encourage you to read that book. It is challenging. As we read this portion of Scripture, we can find that Christ had compassion on the multitude. We as Christians should have compassion for the lost. Have a desire to see people saved and brought in from this world of sin. Hallelujah. Christ had compassion on the multitude. I like his disciples when he said, "When should we have so much bread?" It kind of sounds like they were complaining a little bit. And I just couldn't help but think, sometimes when we're trying to be a witness for Christ, how sometimes we complain. Because sometimes it just takes a part of our day that we just don't want to give. We've worked all day. We've had things happen. Heartache, troubles, but yet God is asking us to do something for him. What are we going to do? Matthew 21, 12 through 14. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables and the money changers of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. What do we find Jesus doing? Jesus wasn't afraid of speaking the truth, no matter who was around, watching or listening. The Pharisees really didn't like Jesus too much. And if you've read your Bible, Lenny, you'll find that out. But Jesus didn't care. Jesus didn't care who liked him, because Jesus had a message. Jesus didn't come for people to like him. He came to save the lost. People, he knew that he would run into people that just wouldn't like him. They would talk bad about him. You know, so many times that we have Christians that somebody talks bad about us and we get our feelings hurt, and we go off and we don't realize the damage that we're causing. We don't realize what we're doing, because in that moment of anger, we're allowing our emotions to control our decisions. But Jesus didn't allow that to control his decisions, because he's seen the need for their souls. He's seen the need that they had. He didn't just let sin take over his house, but he cleansed it. We as Christians should get tired of letting sin control over our house. Some of us need a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost house cleaning party. What is the house I'm talking about? I'm talking about our lives. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 through 17 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God which God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Ye are God's temple. God is wanting to do something in your lives, but you've got to be willing to let him do it. You have got to open up your doors and let him walk in. Christ didn't just die on the cross just to see us sit in our pews and not be about his business, not doing what he has called us to do. So many times we can just sit on the pews and we can go service after service after service, but what are we doing for what we are hearing? People can pour their heart out behind this pulpit, in the songs. People can witness to people on the streets, but we hear about all these great things. And God is beginning to push us in that direction. But what are we doing with what God has asked us to do? What would Jesus do? What would he do? He went to the widow. He ministered. He healed the blind. He healed the sick, the lame. He rose the dead up from the grave. Sometimes we think that, well, that was what Christ did, and that was Jesus, and he did all these great things. But yet, God asked us to do these things. God was asking of us to move in his presence, to be a light and a witness to the lost, to this dying world. There is people going out today, our coworkers, the people that we know, family, friends, they are dying lost and on their way to hell, but how are they going to know if we don't tell them? What are we doing to see them saved? To see them saved from death and hell's grasp? Because the devil is like a lion roaring about seeking whom he may devour. But what are we doing for keeping people from being devoured? What are we doing? What would Jesus do? Mark 10:46-52. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out into Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat beside the highway side, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." There is people out in this world that are dying. They are, their souls are screaming, "Have mercy upon me. Will you minister unto me? Will you show God's light to me? Will you be that example that I can follow and make it to heaven?" What are we doing as the church? What are we doing as people that believe in Jesus Christ? He is returning. We know that he is returning. He is coming to get his church, but what are we doing in the meantime? Are we trying to just hold our Christianity to ourselves, or are we going to voice it? Be a testimony, spreading our testimony, letting people know that Christ is coming, but he died for their sins. They can be saved. They can make it to heaven because God gave his only begotten Son for them. Jesus was willing to die on a cross for their sins. God didn't just send Jesus down to die on a cross so we could just keep it to ourselves. Jesus didn't die on that cross. He wasn't beaten. He wasn't battered. He wasn't bruised because we could just be quiet Christians and, you know, go about our day and just not tell anybody. We've got to begin to be excited about what God's done for us. Being excited for what God has done in our lives. He has changed me. He put my feet on a right path. He saved my soul and he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Some of us need to get excited about what God is doing in our lives, what he has done for us. Sometimes we hold our peace when we shouldn't hold our peace. We keep quiet when we shouldn't keep quiet. But some of us need to get excited about what God has done for us. You should be so excited that Jesus died on that cross. You can't help but tell somebody. You can't help without going out these doors and telling the grocery store lady or the clerk at the Dollar General that Jesus died for their sins because he is coming back. What would Jesus do? There's a lost world full of people who are on their way straight for hell. We as Christians, what are we doing to keep many from falling into the grasp of hell? Are we doing what Christ did? Are we doing nothing? Going service after service and not telling anybody about Jesus? The very term Christian is Christ-like. And if we're not doing what Christ did, we cannot call ourselves a Christian. If we're not being Christ-like, then we're not being a Christian. If we're not doing what Christ did, then we're not being a Christian. We've got to get serious about what God has done for us and what he is asking us to do, because there is a lost world out there that needs saving. They need Jesus. They need to hear the gospel brought to them. Yeah, they may not know it, but they need it. They need it. Mark 5. We're going to read verses 2 through 7. Verse 2 says, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, saying, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' verse 18 and 19, it says, and when he was come with him, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. Jesus didn't give up on anyone. Jesus didn't give up on anyone. People had given up on this man. This man was demon-possessed. People gave up on him. But we as Christians, we're not called to give up on people. People come into these church doors. People may say things about us. They may make fun of us. But that doesn't mean we give up on them. Christ didn't give up on us. So why should we give up on somebody else? There's so many times I shouldn't be up here right now. So many times that if God had not pulled me out of that pit I was in, I would be lost out in this world, or worse, in hell. But God didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on me. There are people in this world that are in need of Jesus. Look at the pew next to you. If it's empty, what are you doing to see it filled? What are you doing to see that pew beside you filled? Matthew 28. If I can get a piano player. Matthew 28, we're going to read verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Church, we got a nation here in the United States. There's people lost all around this country. There's people lost in Chelsea, Oklahoma, Vinita, Oklahoma, Claremore, Oklahoma, all around. Well, what are we doing to see them brung in? Are we being a witness for them? Are we showing Christ's love and compassion to them? What are we doing? Or are we just simply sitting in our pew service after service and not getting a hunger and a desire to see people saved and brung into this church to know Christ on a personal level? So many people know Jesus, but they don't know him on a personal level. There isn't a relationship with him. These pews are empty tonight, and there's a lot sick, I understand. There's a lot of people that's been sick and afflicted. But there's still a lot of pews in this sanctuary that have never been sit in on a regular service. What are we doing to see them filled? What are we doing with what God has given us? How are we living our lives? Are we just simply living for ourselves? get what we can get out of it, or are we living it for Jesus? Because he gave everything for us. So in return, who am I not to give anything and everything to him? Because he died for me. He saved my soul. He changed my path. I was on a highway to hell, but he redirected my path to the straight and narrow. There's people lost, our families, our friends, our coworkers. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. People need Jesus. If you would stand with me tonight. Church, we've got to get a hunger to see the lost run in. We've got to have a vision for souls to be saved. We've got to be so committed to seeing people saved that we're not willing to go to sleep each night without telling somebody about Christ. We've got to get excited about what God has done for us. So excited. He died for my sins. I'm on my way to heaven. How can you not be excited for what God has done for you? How can you not tell somebody about what he has done for you? Because he died for you. He died for you. Come around these altars. Let's have us a time of prayer. If I can leave you with anything, it's get a hunger, church. Get a hunger for the lost. To see somebody brung in. Hallelujah.